everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of UGA Sports Live. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I am joined by Dane Young and former Georgia Bulldogs head coach Jim Donnan, the number one attraction to this number one rated Georgia podcast. I don't know who we're rated by, but I'm going to put us number one because that's how I guess the rest of the media does it. They always say they have the most news or the best insight or the best analysis ever. There's never any judge and jury out there. We just all self-proclaim that we're the best, and that's what we will do on this show. Breaking news, I don't call it breaking news, but the news is out this morning that Georgia is going to start next season with Clemson at noon on ABC, another noon kickoff, but it's not like it's an Athens game. So the folks that want to, like myself, who go, oh God, another noon kickoff. Well, hey, this is one in Atlanta, so it's not that big a deal. It's not like you were going to try to come to Athens to get an early tailgate in. And it opens it up for Georgia to watch some other cool games. Coach, give me your thoughts about Georgia opening with Clemson at noon in Atlanta.
Can't wait to kick their ass. No, I don't know. That was terrible.
Okay, we're good. The show's done. We're good. We got our clip. We can leave.
You know, I always like the noon games just because the sitting around waiting, particularly when you've had the whole off season, you know, and you've had 4 weeks of summer camp and everything, and you're just chomping at the bit. And if you don't play to 7 o'clock that night, then you're sitting around and listening about other teams, and you see all the things that happen during the course of a game that hopefully we went over that, but you go over it again in the pregame meal and everything. This happened to so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. But it's really, you know, Kirby's always talked about he likes the tough opener. He likes the fact to get his team ready. And certainly it's going to be a primo game, but I don't know what the situation is with now that we're not CBS on the SEC game. So I guess this will be an ABC at 12 o'clock because the ESPN game at 3:30, who's that going to be? Who knows? But ESPN has that now. So there's going to be a lot of back and forth about scheduling games, about when they're going to be. But, you know, from my standpoint, I think it's an exciting first game and play it at 12 o'clock, get it going.
Well, you ask who would be the 3:30 ESPN game now. That's Colorado State and Texas on that first game. And then the night game that night on ABC, 7:30, is Notre Dame and Texas A&M.
Yeah, that was Colorado State. That really gets me jacked up for the big game. I mean, come on. I guess Texas is a big play, though. I mean, they're going to be in the top three or four. And then, of course, there's always the new situation. Hoping this is going to be their year. And you've got a new Texas A&M coach. So there's a lot of intrigue involved in all of it. But to me, Georgia-Clemson is – probably the best matchup of the day, and from my standpoint, it's more about what Georgia's got than it is Clemson.
How much recruiting do you think Georgia gets in that weekend?
Yeah, I don't know how they how they do these open these sites like that about if you can actually take kids to the game or give them tickets. You don't know what the rules are anymore. I mean, Wild Wild West, but there'll be some guys that are going to say, I'm going to the Georgia Clemson game. So I don't know if it's because we're giving them tickets or they got them from somebody or however it is, but it's certainly if you live within 200 miles of Atlanta, that'd be a game you'd want to go see. I mean, if you got a chance to go as a recruit, you'd go.
I know Dane wants to ask you about some of the other ones, but we actually had a question. The reason I bring it up with Clemson and Georgia and recruiting, there's only one recruiting question on the show today, and it came earlier. Trying to find it. It says, what can Georgia do to get David Sanders back in the fold from Dwight's tearaway suit? I have no idea what that is.
You know, I think the situation is such, there's so much publicity about these recruits and interviews and everything. Who knows? Just go back to K.J. Bolden last year. I mean, Florida State all the way, and then at the end, you know, things changed.
Dillarayola.
I know that Sanders is certainly a must player that you'd want to get. particularly in the critical area of offensive lineman. And I've only been around him once when he was at camp here, and a very amicable kid, good, you know, smile on his face. But he's definitely in demand, and he's going to look at all the different scenarios. But if you want to go to a team that's not going to promise you're going to win, that's going to develop you and put you in the pros, and going to give you a supporting cast of other players on offense, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer for Georgia, because let's look at our body of work the last 5 years as far as all those issues. So, but is that based on this guy's question, based on something?
Well, it's based on the fact that Clemson and Georgia are two of the biggest players in five-star Davis Sanders recruitment. So them two going head-to-head. And I'm with you. If Georgia goes in there and blows them out, which is weird to say. I mean, it's –
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's tough to say that they'll beat their butt, but they could.
I thought,
and that might affect it.
I thought, by the way, you asked it, that there was something that we weren't in it anymore.
I think Georgia's definitely in it. The question was asked, can they get back into it? I guess maybe the question should have been, what can Georgia do to be the leader and stuff like that? Because for a long time, it looked like he was definitely coming to Georgia. Now he's looking at Tennessee, Clemson, other places. He's a five-star. He's going to be recruited to the very last second. And I think that Georgia-Clemson game at noon, get him down front, let him watch Matt Luke and Stacey Searles' offensive lines do what they do, and may the best team win his signature.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he went to Tennessee. I mean, they had Darnell Wright, but really that they really aren't putting out many pro players up there in O-line. I think, of course, Cade Mays transferred, and, you know, he's on the Panthers team. Maybe he's on the Colts team. I'm not sure now, but –
Can't put your finger on it, Coach.
Yeah, that was good. You can point to that, but I think it's really going to be
nailed it.
A really good situation to keep up with, because he'll be and you know, Matt Luke is definitely a plus for Clemson, getting him as the O-line coach, a former head coach, and a guy with a background, you know, coaching O-line. And just hadn't seen Clemson been and seen a lot of O-linemen coming out of Clemson lately.
Coach, when does Georgia – I know in the offseason they do preparation for each team on the schedule, give it some time, and then when the season comes, you're week-to-week to the next opponent. How hard is Georgia looking at Clemson now, a team that's not on the schedule regularly, so there's not as much recent content to pull from? But we know Georgia has this army of analysts, and Brandon Streeter's among those, who knows Clemson very well.
You know, every coach has a different mindset about how you prepare for the season. And based on what we've read and seen in the past, Kirby kind of gives you, during the fall camp, all-in-one type deal of showing a little bit of everybody, and then the last 10 days really puts the emphasis on Clemson or whoever your first opponent is, because it is a long season and you face a lot of different things. And if you can indoctrinate your players a little bit and the learning process about another team early on, and show, hey, these are some of the formations that Texas uses, or Alabama, that whatever it might be, just spend a little time on that, and then it's an easier learning process the week you play them. But I think from the standpoint of Clemson, it's certainly on your mind as a coach, as far as, you know, studying the tape and watching everything they've done. And particularly for Coach Schumann and the defensive staff, because it's not the same Clemson offense, supposedly, even though Dabo refers to it as the Clemson offense, not the Riley offense. But it is different than what we've played against Clemson in the past. But we do have the benefit of working against TCU stuff for that championship game. Riley brings a lot of that air raid stuff into it, that, you know, this is Riley's brother from USC. And, you know, they started to improve last year as the season progressed, and won their last four or five games, and they got a lot of momentum going, but just doesn't seem as much to have as much firepower on the Clemson team that we've seen in the past. Now, maybe with a addition of the freshmen coming in and some of the guys they redshirted. You're not going to see any portal guys for Clemson because they don't take them. So what you see in spring practice is pretty much what you're going to see as far as the what the Tigers present. But you mentioned Brandon Streeter, and that's definitely an edge there to have a guy that's been in the enemy camp, so to speak, and knows their the way they approach the game and know everything about them, and that'll be a good little insight. But it'll be kind of a trade-off because Matt Luke's there, who was on the inside right here at Georgia's, you know, so you just have to look at it from that perspective.
All right, so if we have our watch-along show that we do each year, we've been doing it for 4 or 5 years now. It's been a fantastic run that we've had. But also, I know the coach might want to go down to Atlanta and watch it in person. So we have to decide on that, see if we're going to be watching this show from his house or from the stadium itself. Let's say that we do it from coach's house, 3 o'clock, 3:30, game's over. Hopefully Georgia wins. And as coach was saying, they did go on a run there. We did a review. Anthony Dasher did a kind of a recap of what we learned from Clemson. He's been doing it from every team that Georgia faces. It's what did we learn about their spring practice? You know, what kind of stood out? What do they need? You know, what's dangerous for Georgia and what's beneficial for Georgia? And, yeah, Clemson looked good. They're very optimistic about this year, but man, it's not, as Coach said about the firepower, the same thing 3 or 4 years ago would have read like, oh, my God, there's no way you're going to beat this team. So that is different. But let's say after the watch-along show, Dane, what are the other games? Is there something kickoff weekend? It's the big weekend. The two games you mentioned sounded like two mules fighting over a turnip. What's the marquee game? What's Coach going to say? Hey, put it on this so we can watch it as we pack up our stuff.
Let's start the
tennis is what we'll be watching.
Well, that's true too. The week before, we do have Georgia Tech playing week zero over in Ireland against Florida State. Now, Florida State, the last time we saw them, had all the opt-outs. So I think they'll be opting into this, playing some international football against Georgia Tech. Coach, that may be a more competitive game than maybe you once thought.
Yeah, I mean, don't go sleeping on Tech. I mean, I think they got 17 starters back, plus had some pretty good kids in the portal. And, you know, Haynes King is a dangerous quarterback, and he knows the system. And you got to think their defense is going to improve somewhat. I mean, they just can't count on outscoring people or having something happen like in the Miami game that helped them get their winning season there when Miami screwed up. But it's a team that usually when you put a system in like Buster Faulkner put in, there's a pretty good growth between 1 year and the next year. So I think going to be interesting to see how good they'll be. Of course, FSU's got DJ coming in from Oregon State who used to start for Clemson, and he's going to be their quarterback, and we'll see how that rolls. But they're playing from Ireland, so it'll be an interesting situation over there. I guess get George O'Leary over there to help us a little bit, you know, because he's got that Irish background. George is a heck of a coach and really knows a lot about coaching. But I think Tech is a team that worries me on our schedule just because of the way they played us last year, because Buster knows our defense and knows how to attack it.
And the other games, Roddy, that lead up to SEC, because it starts on the Thursday before Georgia plays. Here are some matchups for you, Roddy.
Arkansas. Give me some good games.
Arkansas. I mean,
we're almost to the double-digit days to kick off. We're still a little over 100, but we're getting closer. So I'm.
All right. Thursday at 6:30 Eastern, Arkansas Pine Bluff at Arkansas. There's your good.
Dude, I was drinking. I almost spit that out.
Murray. Yeah, I'm going to ride a motorcycle over there and watch that one.
Coach is spicy today.
It'll be interesting to see how Coach Petrino, that offense works out for him. They got a transfer quarterback or a new quarterback that's supposedly a big, strong kid that Houston Nutt was telling me looks pretty good over there. So, Arkansas Pine Bluff, Arkansas Pine Bluff, I mean, got to figure that'll be pretty good start for Arkansas.
At 8 o'clock that night, Murray State at Missouri.
And that's Missouri. Jesus. Team is really on the cusp of either being, really good, or was it one hit show there? You know, you just don't know. But got their quarterback back, lose the back, got some really good receivers. But we talked about, I think it might have been Roddy that made the projection, but if Missouri could make it through last year, because it was really up in the air where they were going to keep him, the coach, but they had a big year. They were really recruiting at a pretty high level. You look at some of the, William Nonnerary, some of these big-time prospects that they were getting through NIL and other ways. But their talent roster, and it was pretty much shown in the pros when a lot of them were drafted. They're starting to really get some team chemistry and look like an SEC team that, we've seen the trouble they gave us the last couple of years. So I think Missouri is going to be a force to be reckoned with. We don't have to play them this year, do we?
I'm always accustomed to saying yes, but now, yeah, you're right. I don't believe we do.
I'm usually right.
We're Mississippi State.
Yeah.
We don't play them or South Carolina or Vanderbilt.
And then, Coach, on Friday that week, Boomer Sooner in the SEC, that era begins. Oklahoma hosts Temple in its first game as an SEC team.
Yeah, I think OU got the short end of the stick on the schedule compared to Texas. It looks to me like OU got, of course, Temple is a team that, always has a few good players. But OU, I really like their quarterback. They've really helped themselves in the portal. Got some big kids, and they got some really good speed guys. OU will probably be better than they were last year. I don't know if their record will be as good because of the teams they got to play, but it'll be interesting to see how good OU does in the league this first year, because it's going to be a difference for them. There's no question about it. I mean, just the size of the stadium, the quality of the opponents. Big 12 is a good league, but come on. I mean, they're making a big jump here.
And I'll run through the rest of these barn burners for the Saturday with the question that Roddy originally asked. It's the Battle of I-85 in Alabama, Alabama A&M at Auburn. There you go, Roddy. There's one. Hey, New Mexico State went and won in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
I still think I'm cutting the grass all day. I mean, you haven't told me anything after that game. That
it's Alabama A&M?
Yes.
Hey, one thing about them, they're going to bring that band over there. Yeah, is strong, and that'll be good, and that'll get on Hugh Freeze's nerve. Those people in that band, they don't care if the game's going on or what. They play the whole game. So let the band play on. But that's going to be an interesting scenario, too, for Coach Freeze, because lost some games they could have, shouldn't have lost last year. But really played Alabama down to the wire, played us in the fourth quarter. What's going to happen to quarterback? How are they going to be there? That's going to be the big key, I think.
Southern Miss at Kentucky, Furman at Ole Miss, Eastern Kentucky at Mississippi State, Old Dominion at South Carolina, Chattanooga at Tennessee, Virginia Tech at Vandy. So there you go, Vandy.
Yeah, Vandy got that quarterback from New Mexico State coming in there, and he also got Jerry Kill, who was the coach there, as an analyst, who's a very good coach. That kid was pretty good. We saw what he was able to do against Auburn. So I think Vandy's got to be improved. I mean, it comes a point where how much lower can you get? They look a lot. I'm not being demean.
No, you're right.
I mean, comes a point where you can't say what we don't have and all the things that are negative. You got to do something. And hopefully they will because I like the coach. I think he knows the parameters around Vanderbilt. But watch out for Furman. I guarantee you, Furman always is tough. They got to the semifinals of 1AA last year. Always a tough out. I mean, and then, of course, Chattanooga has gone over there to UT before and played them into the second half. I mean, it's a lifetime experience for those Tennessee kids to go play for Chattanooga in Neyland Stadium. So they'll play out of their mind against them. So quarterback issue there, Tennessee, how they going to be. Lost some good guys to the portal too. I mean, you know, Tennessee counting on the portal, that's for sure.
Western Kentucky at Alabama, Colorado State at Texas, and Roddy, here's where it actually picks up for you. Miami at Florida.
Okay, there's a game. There's something to watch. And I'm with the coach. I like, you know, Alabama and A&M's band. We had a post on the board the other day. I'm like, bring back Southern University. Bring back Southern badge, you know. But, yeah, Miami of Florida, that could be – that's big for both of them.
Yeah, we played Howard in the 1AA playoffs, and their band got to the game late. When the first quarter was just starting, and they walked around the play, marched around the field for the whole first quarter.
That's awesome.
Like, it was pretty cool. But they were going to make sure they got on TV. But anyhow, we're talking about Western Kentucky now. This is a team that, you know, Alabama certainly got a lot of things up in the air, new coach, all that. But Western Kentucky has got that quarterback that played at LSU for a little bit, and then he transferred to Texas State, and now he's up there at T.J. Finley, the big kid that can really throw. And, you know, you've seen some of the ways that Western Kentucky has played really good on offense and defense. They're among the nation's leaders in takeaways and things in the last couple of years. Tyson Summers, defensive coordinator up there. So,
is TJ Finley's fourth team. So he's one of those that have been around.
And he's a really good quarterback. I mean, you watch Texas State last year, they scared you. I mean, you watch all the things they did. Their coach got a job too. I don't know which D1 school he went to, but he used to be a quarterback at Texas, and then he was at Tulsa, I think Henny or something like that. But anyhow, watch Western Kentucky. They'll go in there and play the heck out of Bama.
That'll be fun. Give me your winner on Miami, Florida.
You got to think Florida has got to do something to make a move here, but their schedule is going to be tough as nails. The same thing true with Miami. What are they going to do? And was this year three under their new coach? So
under Diaz, yeah.
Diaz isn't the coach. He's a coach.
Oh, excuse me. You're right. It's
answer the phone, Dane. Just because you just had a new baby doesn't mean you.
I'm not sleeping, and I went back 3 years.
Diaz is coming out of hibernation.
Yeah, Diaz is at Duke now, right?
Yeah, he's already gone to Penn State, and now he's at Duke. But you got to think seriously that Florida's got to do something. With all those analysts and everything they're doing, all the money they're spending, they got to start doing something to make – I mean, two straight losing seasons. Come on.
That's rough. Well, I can tell you what somebody who has done a good job of getting things better and improving on a great product already, not Miami. They've not quite had it. But our friends at EuroPie have, and they've created wings now. So, you know, pizza and wings that go together. A lot of times you go to a pizza joint, you know, you want some wings, go to a wing joint, you want some pizza. Well, we know that EuroPie is the best pizza place out there. You get it exactly like you want. Now they have 4 wing flavors that you should try. So the next time you are ordering, especially if you order online today, it's 2 for Tuesday. You get 2x the points when you order online, and the points add up to free pizzas, free drinks, free gelato, free breadsticks. Well, you can order their classic buffalo wings. Perfect. Everybody likes classic buffaloes. I think Coach might like these lemon pepper parmesan wings.
Oh, yeah.
I know he likes the lemon pepper. Hey, we're not too far from Atlanta. Then they got hot honey barbecue wings. If you've ever had their hot honey pizzas, you'll know you'll love this flavor. Transfer it over to wings. They're really good. And then, of course, they have the plain roasted wings for people who don't want anything too spicy or want to add their own sauce to it. So next time you get a chance, go by the EuroPie app, pick it up. You can do delivery, do pickup, go by there. Be sure, though, to order on the app, even if you're doing pickup or you're going to eat in store. That way you get the double points and you get all the free stuff as quickly as possible. Also want to mention our friends at Athens Ford. They have 846 vehicles on the lot. That's a lot. There's plenty of stuff going on out there. They have access to eat many, many more through their related dealership. So when you get a chance, swing by Athens Ford. There's a lot going on out there. Right now, they, of course, have their May specials. You know, that's always going on. But Georgia just had its graduation. I know my niece is graduating this Saturday. Everybody's going through graduations. And if you are a college student or a recent college graduate, you can get $500 off. Select new Ford vehicles. Go out there and get $500 off. Same if you've been in the military. Okay, so if you are a veteran or you're an active member of the U.S. military, military, you too may qualify for $500 off. So students, veterans, they got you covered. Extra discounts on top of the fantastic deals they have out there. And, of course, anybody who buys a new or pre-owned vehicle, basically under 80,000 miles with very few exceptions, gets the lifetime powertrain warranty on the vehicles you buy from them. So swing out to Athens Ford. You will be glad you did so.
A couple more quick games I just wanted to get your thoughts on, Coach, as we sit here. Notre Dame and Texas A&M, I know we briefly discussed, but Notre Dame having Riley Leonard transfer in from Duke, still the Marcus Freeman era up there, new era for A&M with Mike Elko taking over for Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, you know, A&M lost a lot of guys in the portal, but brought some in, and they're going to run that Kansas State offense that features, you know, a mobile quarterback and a lot of things that that K-State did. You know, Coach Elko bringing a defensive structure there to that'll utilize a lot of their talent over there. So I look for them to be better than they were last year at A&M.
And then we get a Sunday game, LSU and USC. That's a 7:30 kick that night, Eastern time. And right now, according to the line I'm seeing, LSU would be a 6.5-point favorite. New quarterback after Heisman Trophy winner goes in the top five. So this looks like the Garrett Nussmeier era beginning for LSU.
Are they playing that at LSU?
They're playing in Vegas.
Oh, Vegas. Well,
we go to that one.
Yeah, that's – you know, I think LSU got to get better on defense. That's, you know, they hired Baker from – Missouri, and he brings in a really solid scheme. He had a lot of early work with Coach Muschamp at a prior stop, so he knows a lot of our system. I don't know. I just don't see LSU being as good as they were last year. I mean, you lose those good receivers, and you know, they just got to develop some defensive presence. And then, of course, USC. Who knows what they're going to have? I mean, new quarterback, lost a lot of good players to the pros and to the portal. So they've got to get some kind of defense going. I know they hired the D coordinator from UCLA to come over there. I think his name's Lynn, and try to get that defense rolling. But, I mean, they're 6-point favorite, LSU.
6.5.
Yeah, I'd probably take the over in that game.
And if people are curious, the line I'm seeing right now is Georgia minus 13, favorites over Clemson.
Is that first half or no? I mean, damn. Oh, no, I was just – that was a, I don't know why I said that. But, you know, we'll have a hard time with Clemson. I mean, they're just a good team. I mean, and it's the first game, but, you know, we're going to – usually play pretty good there in the dome. We, you know, we got a one game losing streak now, but I just think our offensive firepower this year is going to be really, really good. And defensively, it's going to be hard for people to get anything easy against us.
What about that noon kickoff? Ernie says noon. That's insane. I hear you, but Coach, I heard what you said about you'd rather not sit around all day. Georgia-Clemson is at noon. The second game, Georgia-Tennessee Tech, that's got a decent likelihood of being a noon kickoff or at least an early kickoff. And then you have at Kentucky the following week. So that could set up very nicely for Georgia just in terms of preparation.
Yeah, you would hope that they'd play that Tennessee Tech game at 12 to give you that much more time to get ready for Kentucky on the road. I mean, we got to play Kentucky and Alabama on the road. It'll be interesting process there. But, hey, it's hard to believe we're talking about the games, and it's May the 14th. But
hey, the SEC started – or ABC started by releasing the time, and it just got us all geeked up on You can imagine it easier now that you know what time it kicks off.
Give me something to talk about. That's right. I mean, we're talking about this for 20 minutes here. I mean, I didn't know what we were going to talk about, but
Well, we got a lot of questions for you to answer. I'll hit you up with some of those.
Well, I can tell you real fast what's happening on campus, because we've talked about the recruiting and the scavenger hunt and Roddy and Owen rumors versus facts last night. Y'all all broke down what's coming for recruiting with Georgia this week. Academically, for the players that are taking classes, a lot of times they sneak in a Maymester, which begins this week, and they can get a quick course credit that maybe it lightens their load for fall. So I think a lot of athletes are probably taking advantage of that Maymester, which is a class squeezed down into about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think that used to be the case, maybe more so than now, because, you know, we didn't have all the guys here in the summer. Now that they're required to be here in the summer, I think Kirby, unless he's needed for, you know, eligibility, I think he likes for them to go home and take a little time off, because then all of a sudden you hit that grind there in June, where you just go from June to almost January without any break. So, but Maymester is a good chance to catch up.
You say almost January, that's turning into almost February at this point.
Right.
Maymester.
We got the 12 team playoff. So a couple extra games.
I hope none of the players have to go through Maymester.
Ask y'all. I don't know why I said you guys, but about the idea of a team that plays a conference championship game, and then you got the playoffs. It seems to be a little bit of a punishment. You know what I mean? That's one extra game, and then you got those extra. Now you got the. Of course, if you're the champion of the league, you probably get a bye. The first game, and then the next game we play at home. But it's going to be a lot different scenario with this 12-team playoff.
I said the championship this year cost Georgia a title, cost them a national championship. Everybody else was judged on their regular season. Georgia was judged on its regular season and the championship game. They came up short outside looking in, and we made the point last year, if I'm one of these other teams, I'd rather not play in the – possibility. I'd rather not play in the championship so I can rest up. So you don't get a bye, but yeah, you're still going to get to play like a number 7, number 8 team, and one less game. You're healthy going into the playoffs. I'm all for it.
By having the extra game, the bye is taken away, right? So you play a game when other people don't. That would be the bye, the conference championship. So it's not really an advantage that way.
I believe Michael Cohen would agree with both of y'all on that.
That's a different show, Coach.
I don't know if he'd agree today and maybe change tomorrow or what, but let's go on.
Here's a question. We're talking about summer and, guys getting a break. And I like this question from Mike Smith. Now, I don't know if this is the Mike Smith that used to live in Briarwood Circle in Conyers, but that's a pretty common name. But I did know Mike Smith back then. I hope it's him. It says, Coach, who needs to get stronger over the summer? I know the answer is likely everyone, but who really, all caps, needs it? So who on this team do you think of needs to come in and put on some muscle mass? They look pretty good.
Individually?
Yeah. I would say the freshman class.
You know, I can't really be specific on that because I don't really know what the actual strength of some of these guys. I see them big and I see everything, but you know, the main thing you want to do here between now and when fall camp starts is this is a really good time to develop your conditioning, but also your quickness and agility, and work hard on that and your strength gain. So, because you're not having the practice, even though you can 8 hours now, But I think just as a team, there's a lot of gain you can make between now and the first of August when they start. And, you know, another thing that I just want to give a little shout out to my man Kirby and his staff. You know, I saw this sign the other day that says, there are two signs. One of them says, the hay is in the barn. And the other one says, the hay is never in the barn. And I think about the way that, you know, used to be after Thursday's practice, you basically, the old saying, the hay was in the barn. There's not a lot we can do. You know, let's just rest up. Let's get ready for the game and do all that. Our team does a tremendous job of mental preparation between Thursday night and Saturday, whenever they play the game. The walkthroughs they do, the tests they give them, the reels of tape that are really significant towards what the game's going to be about. They really do fortify in our team's mind exactly what's going to happen in the game. And the preparation between Thursday night and Saturday is just, for our fans, you got to be happy. And I'm sure other teams do a lot of that, but the hay is never in the barn at Georgia.
Well, I was like, hey, stop worrying about this, but worry about this. It's a good, I like the juxtaposition there. All right, the next question is from Stoli, S-T-O-L-I. Says, which team will be the toughest to beat on the road this season? And which team will be the toughest to beat at home next year? Knowing that the schedule flips, so the teams that you go on the road this year, you host next year. So toughest team to beat on the road and toughest team to beat at home next year.
Well, that's a good question. And I want to preface this with a little bit of when you go on the road with a younger team that hasn't been around the crowds and the travel and being on a schedule and away from home and all that, there's a tendency to maybe make some mistakes that you wouldn't make at home as compared to a veteran. And so that makes you kind of not very much at ease playing on the road. But when you have a veteran team, you can maybe make up for any younger guys' mistakes because most of the guys that are playing have been on the road. But Kentucky's always a tough place to play. I mean, you look at our record up there over the years, has been pretty good. But that's our first road game. But we do have a veteran team, and they're going to have a new quarterback, but he's a quarterback that's played against our defense for 3 years. So he's not going to, you know, he's not going to have some of Georgia's players going against him, but Vandergriff will be. So I think that's going to be a tougher game than it would have been without him. And then, of course, Alabama, just the fact that it's a new coach, we haven't had any success over there, whatever it might be, you can't take for granted that even though they're not rated highly, that's going to be any easier than it's ever been. But if you had to say the one toughest game to me on the road is going to be Texas because of the returning starters, the fact that it's out there. You don't know how many of our fans are going to be able to get there because they're going to have that road race or whatever you got out there, and you can't get a hotel room. So I think Texas with a returning quarterback will be tough. Of course, Ole Miss will. We can go through all of them. But I would say the Texas game. And then at home, it would be one of two, either Tennessee or Georgia Tech, just because of the way Tech played us last year.
All right. So next year with those Alabama coming to Georgia, Texas coming to Georgia, Ole Miss coming to Georgia, who's the toughest home game next year, not in 2024, 2025?
You're already getting to 25?
Yeah.
Shit, I probably won't be here. I tell you what, I'm definitely in the fourth quarter, I can tell you that. I mean, who knows? It'll be different for us. Got a new quarterback, all that. But
yeah, it's too far to tell on that one, Stoli. But I appreciate the question. It's a good one.
Yeah, Stoli coming out for conference game questions here right off the bat. That's impressive.
All right. Here's a good one from Fresno CA Dog. Did Kirby want to be the highest paid coach in America, or is Georgia trying to make sure he doesn't go anywhere? How does his salary compare to NFL jobs?
Yeah, I don't think Kirby's going anywhere. You know, he's got a young family. He likes it there. He's just moving into a different house. Of course, I can't speak for him. And then you reward people for success. I mean, what an unbelievable run he's had. And so it's a little bit preemptive there from the standpoint of maybe somebody might come after him or, you know, who knows. But, and, you know, he's not driven by the salary, that's for sure. But, you know, he just wants to win for Georgia. But he certainly should be the highest paid guy. I mean, look at the results.
True. I don't know. How much do the NFL coaches make? I mean, how?
Depends on who you are. I mean, the higher level guys. I mean, Andy Reid's getting ready to get up there between 18 and 20 million. And they just went with 18 million for the guy at the Broncos when they brought him out of retirement. So Belichick was making close to that. So was coach at Seattle, Pete Carroll. So, you know, 15 to 20 million. I mean, you got coordinators up there making 4 million.
That's true. So, I mean, it's at least just competitive. It's not like, hey, they're making three times the amount of money like they used to or something like that. So,
I think the only reason anybody would go to the pros besides money would be just the lifestyle compared to what you're having to endure here as a college coach. Certainly getting paid, but, you know, the transfer portal, the you know, NIL, it's just a different ball game. And it's gotten into the point where it's almost a year-round situation, daily job, just trying to keep your team together. So you don't have to worry about that in the pros. So that would be that why you're seeing maybe some guys go to the pros.
Gotcha. All right, we have some other questions. I got one for you about Dalen Everett here in a second, Coach. But first, I want to mention our friends over at Academia Brewing Company, mainly because they've got some fun stuff going on at Academia Brewing Company. Of course, this Sunday, they have the car, bike, and bus show. So if you want to swing out for the inaugural Mac McMillan Memorial Cruise In, that's be a good time to come by. They're going to have raffles, $2,000 in raffle prizes, car show, trophies, cash prizes, a bike show, the bus show. You got to see the Sarah bus, which is one of the great vehicles out at Academia Brewing Company. And they got a new special. This week's special is ahi tuna topped with pickled onions, arugula, and a special house sauce. So if you are over there this week, try the ahi tuna sandwich. Looks great. Remember, Tuesday through Thursday, they have 50% off apps from 4 to 5, 25% off apps from 5 to 6, and a rotating cocktail specials from 4 to 6 p.m. So if you're going over there around about the time you get off work, you get some great deals on the food out at Academia Brewing Company. Also, want to mention our friends over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. They do a great job of getting you into the a new franchise. It's a really simple process. You basically start with a phone call or an email. You reach out to Andy Ludecky. He starts walking you through what it takes, what you need to do, what's available out there. And then you start looking for the perfect franchise. Once he understands the lifestyle you're looking for, he starts saying, okay, here are a ton of options. What interests you? And then you match with the perfect franchise and he walks you through all that. It doesn't cost you a dime. It's a very simple process. You know, it's a lot of questions being asked, a lot of being answered, and you have so many different options that you're almost guaranteed to find something that works for you. I had one of our very famous posters on the board reach out to me the other day saying, hey, send me Andy's number, and it's right there, 404-973-9901, or just reach out to myperfectfranchise.net, and they will take good care of you. All right, let's get to another question for you, Coach. The one I teased about Dalen Everett. This is from Dog Days. I think he had a question not too long ago. He said, is Dalen Everett a lock to start again, or will Ellis Robinson take his job?
I don't think anybody is, except maybe Carson Beck right now, just because we got so many good players, and it's going to be a very competitive fall camp. He's got some really good guys to go against. Certainly his background and all the work he's done helped him, all the reps he's had. But he's got some heck of a – some guys he's got to go against. And I think we'll probably maybe rotate a little bit more at corner than we have just because we've got four or five that it can all play.
Speaking of Ellis Robinson, I mean, we know he's physically gifted. Dylan Everett struggled some last year, but again, that's because he got Kamari Lassiter on the other side. And I think when I say struggled, the narrative was that he was struggling, but I think teams were picking on him. When Ellis Robinson gets, what's the hardest thing to learn, these cornerbacks?
I think just the transition where you just get, you're so good in high school that you can take a shot and still recover because of the skill level of the quarterback or receivers you're going against. Whereas in college, you take one or two bad steps, they're going to burn you. And I think with all the way people are graded, I mean, Pro Football Focus, everybody sees all the things that maybe 10 years ago you didn't have that at your disposal. But I watch the NFL guys, these pro corners get beat. I mean, you're going to get beat. You can't shut down anybody cold. And a lot of times it might not be the coverage that the player that looks like he's not doing well as much as the coverage he's in, or a bust by somebody else that's supposed to help him. But he's definitely a guy that's a good tackler and a very good technician, and I'm glad we got him.
I like him too. Dallas Dog 98. What will the new coaches bring to Georgia? That's a good question. So, what Josh Crawford, Tavarius Robinson, what do all those new guys bring to UGA?
Yeah, I like change just because you've got some different ideas just from the standpoint that a coach comes in here maybe with a different drill or a different way to play a coverage or a technique you can use on special teams or something they did in recruiting on an official visit or whatever it might be, plus the fact that they've got areas of recruiting. You got Coley coming in from that can cover an area that maybe you've been deficient in, like in South Florida. So all of those things add up, and it keeps everybody fresh. It keeps you, on your toes just because – you always want to keep up with what's going on. The game's always constantly changing with the rules that change, with the caliber of kids that you've got now that are better trained, they have better strength and conditioning, better nutrition. So I think Kirby's been really good at bringing in guys that can not only take the place of somebody, but also add some different qualities to your staff. And it takes a lot of good for you to be the coach of the year in your conference. You need to have about six or seven or the best guys in their conference at their position. Maybe two or three that aren't, but you got to have all conference coaches too.
I agree. The last question I have from this on this list, it was also from Dallas Dog 90. He says, what is the latest on Ryan Puglisi? I'm not a member of Rivals. Dallas. Yeah. It makes 27 cents a day, man. It's UGASports.com. Go over there, sign up. It's 27 cents a day, and you would find out what the latest is on Ryan Puglisi.
So, I didn't pay my 27 cents, so what is it?
It's broke his fibula. So, but he's no longer on crutches. He's no longer in a brace or anything. We actually have a video of him running around. He was at a showcase the other day, and he talked to our Adam Friedman, one of our national guys, told him that he fractured his fibula and that he's fine, that just heals naturally, and he's already running around. So.
What was he doing there?
Don't know.
Was he working out or something?
No, I mean, I think he was just thinking maybe coaching or just hanging out at the showcase. Probably knew somebody there from Avon or something, but
okay.
He was like catching a couple passes from the guys that were actually throwing balls. So yeah, I'm glad. At least he wasn't on a cane or crutch. So
I'm glad we got him.
Yeah,
Here's a question from UJSports.com from Billy Zane, one of our common customers. Who are some players, coach, that you coached that ended up being far better than you thought when they arrived on campus? And can you think of any common threads as to why that was? Physical development, work ethic, football IQ, et cetera.
Yeah, I think certainly there, all those things go into it. You want to look at a guy coming out of high school and say, well, is he as good as he's going to ever be? Or, you know, how is he going to fit in, growth, development, position wise, character, everything? And for the most part, the successful coaches are not necessarily the guys that recruit all these great players, but the ones that don't make mistakes on guys, because the more mistakes you make, the less chance you're going to be coaching. So I think you got to really look hard at certain and have your process that you're going to stick up to, and you're not going to make any exceptions on. And I would say a guy that came in here probably less heralded than anybody was Randy McMichael, that had a brilliant career here and in the pros, and saw a lot of potential with him as far as ability to run and jump and his competitiveness, but he definitely came on strong here. You know, I've got him just about everywhere I've ever coached. Had a sad day yesterday. I found out that one of my quarterbacks in North Carolina passed away. And not only was he the quarterback, but his brother, we recruited from Sauset, New York, Matt Kupek, was an all-conference. So he had two all-conference quarterbacks from one family.
Wow.
That played from New York for us at North Carolina. And, of course, Chris was an outstanding lawyer in the Charlotte area and really had a great career there, too. So deepest condolences to him. But I never will forget when I was recruiting Matt, went up to New York and went by the school and watched the tape during the day. Might have been not tape back in 1975, but whatever you call it, VHS or whatever. And he'd right in the quarterback, you know, throwing the ball, looked smooth. I was sitting there with this coach from Syracuse. I never forget, we're sitting in the office, you know, and I'm thinking this guy thinks he's going to get him and I'm going to try to get him and all, you know how it is. So so I go to the basketball game because I don't think the Syracuse guy's going to be there, but he's there at the game. So I get there right when the tip off and Matt gets the tip and takes it down to the top of the key and jacks up a jump shot, but he shoots it left-handed. And I'm saying to myself, God, this kid's got it, man. He throws right and can shoot lefty, all that. And, of course, he came in, and this was a tremendous quarterback for us. Hurt his knee, but then he played for the new coach, Dick Crum. But people don't want to hear much about that on our show. But I want to say that you just reflect back on the families and the character involved with that Kupek family. Just makes me feel good about, you know, recruiting, because these families are investing their son's future in not only the school, but the coach. You know what I mean? So they trust you and they want you to do what's right by their kid. And just always enjoy the fact that a lot of these, and like to share with the fans here, a lot of these players, they're going to be keeping up with you forever, you know, and that's good. And it's awesome to see them be successful.
Well, I think it goes to the heart of Billy Zane's question about common threads for guys that were better than you thought they'd be. A lot of times when you point to them, it's a great family support that they had. You know, it's like, okay.
Right.
Especially when they don't tail off. You think this kid's good or you know he's going to be good and then something bad happens. You find out something was going on with the family or the entourage around him made some bad decisions. But with a good support network, they don't have a setback caused by the family. They have support going forward. So,
and I had a guy in Oklahoma that won the 100 and the 200 in the state of Missouri, Anthony Stafford. And he was a smaller back. You know, I mean, he's not a big guy. And we sold him on the fact you could be a halfback in the wishbone and use your speed on the perimeter and not have to hammer and tong it up inside all day. We didn't tell him he had to block some, but the idea was that his speed on the perimeter and just developed into an unbelievable back when we would pitch the ball on. I could just see him running down there and those horses getting ready to run out and go around the field every time Anthony got the ball. You project something for a kid and it works out, you know, and certainly there's plenty of them that didn't, but he's another guy that just was unbelievable what he was able to do with his career.
Coach, you'll be happy to hear this, talking about some of the character from some of these guys. My daughter is finishing kindergarten this week, so she comes home with her first yearbook, and I'm, you know, flipping through it, and there's a photo of Jalen Walker, and they're reading the classes. This is back in the fall, and I think it was Jalen and a couple of the other Georgia players came in to read to her elementary school. But little things like that, it was probably a couple hours for him, that's now documented for her for the rest of her life, and especially – I mean, regardless of what he becomes, but he has potential to be a really, really, really good football player. All of a sudden, think about all those kids that he touched that day.
Yeah, I can't say nothing. Right, saw Jalen out of high school. I'm just telling you, quality young man. I mean, you know, most of those guys are. I don't know everybody on the team, but he all. I mean, if I'm anywhere close, he always comes over. But of course, we got a natural. Affiliation, him being from North Carolina and everything, but he's quality. And we mentioned before, he's on the board now for the athletic board. He's the rep. He's definitely good. And I like the way Kirby put, you know, we're going to see some good stuff here over the summer. They go up to the camp up there and work with those kids and do a lot of good things among around the community.
Two more questions from the dog vent. First from I've Been Good. Will the Dogs end up top five on offense and defense this year? I'm not sure which metric, referring total offense, total defense?
Certainly, I think our defense will profit from the fact that our offense is going to score and we're going to be ahead, so you can do a lot of things. Just to, you lose a lot of stats there when you play in some of these games where you're way ahead in the fourth quarter and teams get stuff. So it's hard to tell, but based on the last few years, I'd have to say pretty good shot for both of them.
And then Sumpter Dog says, I always love Coach Donnan's stories. Can you name one recruit during your time as a head coach that you thought for sure was coming to your team and maybe one that you gave up on, but then they surprisingly ended up with you anyway?
You know, for sure was coming and didn't get him.
Both ways, that you were for sure they were coming and they ended up leaving, or you gave up, you didn't think you had a shot at them, and then they ended up with you anyway.
Yeah, I thought we had a really good shot at Brock Berlin from down there in Louisiana. You know, ended up going to Florida and then transferring to Miami, I think. But I don't know if we were that close on him or not, but some guys over in Atlanta, you know, I can't remember anybody that, you know, broke my heart there on the day of the thing. I mean, I don't need to do that right now. as far as just somebody that didn't know what was going to happen to the end, because I didn't know him that good because I came in late, Marcus Stroud, you know, our guys down there did a good job with him, and Daryl Drake, a lot of recruiters here did, but it was – down to the end there on Marcus, and we got him. So I think that was great, you know, at the end to get him.
Coach, some of those defensive lines you had in particular, Stroud, Seymour, Josh Millard, who we had on last week. I mean, geez.
Yeah, we had Charles Grant. Oh, those guys were strong.
Well, hey, Charles Grant's also offense, so don't lump him in.
Yeah, he could. He went 70 yards in the against Kentucky.
Hey, man. All right, Coach, you got a joke for us to close the show with?
Yeah. Yeah. Just if you bear with me, I got a couple of short ones. This guy was and his wife, the new neighbors were there, and the wife was looking at him and said, hey, look at that guy. I said, he's holding her hand and look at him. He's, you know, hugging her and look at him. He's giving her a kiss and, would you like to do that? And he said, well, I haven't met her yet. So anyhow, this guy is laying in bed, and as you know, he's trying to go to sleep, and his wife's trying to talk to him. She said, "Will you just please hold my hand?" And so he knocks his hand over there and puts it back. And she said, "Would you just please give me a kiss?" And so he goes over there and just pecks her on, and then starts back to sleep. And said, "Would you just please kind of bite my neck like you used to?" And he gets up out of the bed, and she says, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to get my teeth."
Oh, God.
So here's the other one, and this is my joke of the day here. So this guy is feeling bad on his 35th wedding anniversary, and he's telling his wife, said, "You know, we've had a great life together, and I just want to tell you, I've always been told you everything, but I got to tell you, back when I was young and we were first married, I stayed over late working and I had an affair with my secretary. It's only one night and I've always wanted to tell you, and I'm telling you tonight." She said, "Well, I appreciate you telling me that." I said, "Would you?" And he said, "Would you? What about you?" And she said, "Well, you know, when you got sick and had to have that open heart surgery, we didn't have enough insurance and I had to help us out with the doctor." And he said, "Well, I can understand that. You saved my life." And he said, "Okay." She said, "Well, there's another one too." He said, "Okay." He said, "You know, when we were trying to get that loan on that house and we just didn't have enough money, and I had to get in there with that realtor, and he introduced me to the banker, and I told the banker I'd do anything. Well, that's how we got the house." And he said, "That's okay." He said, "Let's go on and eat." And she said, "Well, I got one more I got to tell you." And he said, "Okay." He said, "You know that time you were running for president of the country club and needed 55 votes?" Yeah, I had one. Do we have time? I had one more. I've really been researching there. Sure. So this blonde went into Walmart and saw this sign up there, $200 off. And so she said to the guy, I said, "Hey, I'd like to buy that flat screen." And he said, "We don't sell to blondes." And so she was kind of offended, but she went home and dyed her hair and came in the next day. And there was another guy working there and said, "I'd like to take that $200 off that flat screen and buy it." And he looked there and said, "We don't sell to blondes." And so she went home. And the next day she comes in with a disguise, got on a big hat, floppy hat, glasses, total different look. And there's this lady working there. And she said, "I'd like to get that $200 off on that flat screen." And the lady said, "We don't sell to blondes." And she said, "Look, I've come in here three different days, once as a blonde, once as a brunette, and with this disguise. And why won't you sell me that flat screen for $200 off?" She said, "That's a microwave."
God, I fell for it.
All right, sports fans.
It's like, damn it, you got me.
I'm retiring. I'm telling too many here, but hey, it's fine.
No such thing. This is the off season, baby. We love it.
Which one of those did you like the best, Dane?
First one for me. First one got me more than the other two, I think.
You didn't have anything left after that.
No, the flat screen got me.
The flat screen got you, Roddy.
Yeah. No, the 55 votes.
Yeah, you know that. You know, the time you wanted to be president, you needed 55 votes.
So. Oh, I love it. Right in the political season. That's beautiful. All right, folks, be sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon. We'll have Coach back on, and we'll be sure to get your questions in at ujsports.com so you too can get them answered. We missed like shouting out everybody, but we appreciate Henry, Howard, Dogs Rolling Loud, Keith, Howard, all the folks that tuned in. We appreciate it. We love Goat, who's on there, all our good friends, Rhett and Greg. Thank you for all tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Take care.